What do mushrooms and banana leaves have to do with fashion? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll head to the catwalk of a recent fashion show to answer that question. But first, a big change at the European Central Bank today. Christine Lagarde officially swipes in for her first day on the job. The former managing director of the International Monetary Fund takes the reins from Mario Draghi, who steered the bank through the aftermath of the financial crisis. Andrew Kenningham, chief Europe economist at Capital Economics, explains new challenges facing Ms. Lagarde and the ECB.
Certainly, monetary policy is becoming less and less effective because rates are already so low, so there's limited amount of room left. They are, of course, also buying assets in a QE program. They've just relaunched that starting today. But they're difficult things to do, and they're all controversial.
Now, at the end of his term, Mario Draghi strongly called on governments to do more fiscal stimulus. Earlier this week, Ms. Lagarde named and shamed Germany and the Netherlands to use their budget surpluses to help stimulate their own economies. Generally, ECB presidents avoid direct call-outs, don't they? Will this be something you think that she does when she's officially taking the helm?
I mean, she might do. If you look at reports that the ECB publishes and the statements Mr. Draghi made, they do things like talk about large economies or economies which have enough fiscal space, which is clearly a code for Germany. So if she's going to call it Germany, you know, if she's talking about Germany, she may as well call it Germany.
Do you think it will be effective?
That's another question. So the reality is that the central bank doesn't have direct power over fiscal policy. So it's only the power of persuasion, which Christine Lagarde can try to use. She will have to use her political skills, and you know, it remains to be seen whether or not she has much luck in that direction. I'm sure she will repeatedly call for more alignment of fiscal policy and for a stronger Eurozone fiscal capacity. But national governments have been reluctant, and that brings you to the heart of the problem that the Eurozone has. It is a currency union for 19 countries, each of which has sovereign independent governments.
A lot of countries to wrangle there. Andrew Kenningham, chief Europe economist at Capital Economics. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, from one top job in the world of central banking to another, the BBC has learned the Bank of England could get its first female governor in more than 300 years. That's if Boris Johnson's government remains in place after the election on December 12th. The BBC's Simon Jack reports Egyptian-born British-American Manoush Shafiq is the favored candidate to succeed Mark Carney in January. The 57-year-old has served as deputy governor at the bank and is currently director of the London School of Economics. Let's do the numbers. Asian and European markets are mixed over lingering concerns the U.S. and China won't reach a long-term trade deal. Meanwhile, banks in Lebanon have reopened after a two-week closure due to mass protests over corruption and the economy. Lebanon's prime minister resigned earlier this week to try and resolve the crisis. Well, when you think of Alibaba, you probably think of online shopping. But the e-commerce giant is exploring other revenue streams like cloud computing. Will it be enough, though, to boost the Chinese company's latest earnings results? The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reports.
While analysts say the company's results are likely to be strong, Alibaba is facing difficult times ahead. The Chinese market, where it makes two-thirds of its revenue, is slowing down. Alibaba is also facing stiff competition at home from the likes of new rivals. At the same time, attempts to expand internationally have struggled. Then there's the delayed multi-billion dollar public offering in Hong Kong. All of this is happening at a time when its larger-than-life leader, Jack Ma, has stepped down. Daniel Zhang is now in charge. He was behind the company's massively successful online shopping festival, Singles Day. Mr. Zhang's greatest challenge may be living up to the image of Mr. Ma himself.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reporting there. There are plenty of things to feel guilty about in this modern world. What we eat, how we get around, the way we heat our homes. What we wear also hasn't escaped scrutiny. But the textiles industry has been experimenting with potentially more sustainable alternatives, as the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson reports.
At a recent fashion show in London, I asked some front row fashionistas what kind of fabric innovations they'd spotted on the catwalk.
We saw a lot of leathers, which were made from some leaves.
Is sustainability and using alternative fabrics something that you're interested in?
Definitely. Like anything that can be made out of fruit or natural materials is really important.
Samantha Conti, London Bureau Chief for Fashion Industry Bible Women's Wear Daily, says that the trend isn't just limited to plant-based textiles.
There's an Italian company in the north of Italy using milk protein to make fabric, which is very soft, as you can imagine. It's this desire to say, we can make anything out of anything.
In a small town called Soest, around an hour away from Amsterdam in the Netherlands, Anjella Hoffing runs Neffa, which describes itself as growing the future of fashion. One of its most ambitious projects is the development of mycotex, a fabric created from mushrooms.
Mycelium is the root of mushrooms. So what we have here is actually how we grow mycelium. And mycelium grows exponential, so it doubles every day. And then you get this really lovely white fluffy material, which for me resembles already the velvet of textiles. I see ideas from technology and from microbiology and try to find a way how to use that in textiles.
This looks incredibly delicate. I mean, how practical is it?
We're working hard on making the material stronger. So this is now for the catwalk ready. But yeah, of course, we want people to wear it for every day. And so this is where our current focus is.
The key question, of course, is whether clothes made from mushrooms or milk protein will ever become staples. Whilst innovators are optimistic, there's still a way to go yet. In Soest, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Before you head out for the weekend, one more bit of news for you. China rolled out one of the world's largest 5G networks today. It's available in 50 cities with monthly data plans starting from $18. China follows South Korea, the US, and the UK, which rolled out their next-gen networks earlier this year. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.